This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Xiaoning and Philip. For now, though, we're turning our attention to the Eurozone economy. European stocks closed out the first half of 2021 higher by more than 13% with the rally sustained in July. And in addition, we've seen strong corporate results across all sectors on the back of a vaccination program that, although initially started slow, but this has rapidly caught up.
So last year, the European governments and the ECB, which is the European Central Bank, wrote huge checks in the form of emergency stimulus packages to help restart the economies ravaged by the pandemic. And the overall Eurozone seems now to enjoy the fruits of this as consumer sentiment hit a 21-year high. While GDP numbers have shown an uptick from the low base effect of last year, but some were slightly below expectations, and questions linger over how sustained will the recovery be post-pandemic, and perhaps more importantly, post-stimulus.
So what is the outlook for the second half of the year? For some insights, we're speaking to Daniela Ordonez, lead Eurozone economist at Oxford Economics. Good morning, Daniela. Thank you for joining us today. We've seen mixed results in GDP numbers across the Eurozone. What's driving the weaker than expected results in some countries, especially in Germany?
So let's go for the GDP figures. So overall, the surprise was not that bad. I mean, the Eurozone GDP was in line with expectations for most of countries, a bit higher than consensus and even higher than our expectations, that were already higher than consensus. So not that bad news. For countries that were in partial or total lockdown during part of the quarter, like France, like Belgium, we actually saw very positive figures with consumption rebounding despite the lockdowns, which proves that the economy has adapted a bit to this situation. Now, indeed, we have Germany that is always a special case, sometimes on the upside, sometimes on the downside. And it is true that in this case, Germany disappointed. It was maybe the only country to have disappointed in the GDP growth figures compared to what we were expecting. And it clearly comes from industrial headwinds and all the global supply shortages that the industry is facing. And that is weighing a lot on the German industry, especially on car makers, as semiconductor shortages and other types of shortages is hitting or is weighing, is limiting the production rebound in Germany.
Daniela, we are in the midst of earnings season. What's your take on the first half of corporate results so far? Which sectors are over-delivering and which are underperforming?
So the numbers that we have that are not that many, but still we have, are very positive, are pretty in line with our expectations of the fact that consumers are confident and that they will be spending a lot during the summer season as the economies reopen. So, for example, the Google mobility data shows that mobility has returned in most countries to pre-crisis levels, notably in the retail and recreation sectors. The turnovers or the flash turnovers of retailers, of the hospitality sectors, hotels, restaurants are very positive. I mean, they remain far from pre-crisis levels, but the rebound has been impressive, really impressive. So the numbers are quite in line. And they are positive. So we think that the Eurozone as a whole will record a very strong summer. Q3 growth, GDP growth in the third quarter will be robust, maybe the second or highest in record. This doesn't mean that we don't have risks around. And actually, even if the hard data is very positive and confirms that the rebound is being very strong, some surveys have started to highlight some risks. And notably, for example, the fact that expectations in the services sector have decreased a little bit, or consumer confidence has already begun to ease, which might show that consumers and companies, especially in the services sector, they are worried about the potential impact that the Delta variant and the new rising infections could have on activity.
But you've noted that the impact of the Delta variant on the Eurozone isn't so severe compared to other parts of the world. So I'm just curious, what is keeping these economies afloat and what are the downside risks though?
So yes, definitely the impact of the Delta variant has not become material yet in the economy, meaning that even if surveys have begun to ease, meaning confidence has begun to ease, it remains extremely high. Consumer confidence is high, business confidence is high, so it is peaking, it's maybe decreasing a little bit, but it remains close to record highs across sectors and across countries. Second, definitely the most important factor that is keeping the risk of the Delta variant low is vacciination. The acceleration and the impressive acceleration of vaccination in the latest weeks definitely diminishes the health risk on the economy. If there is a fourth wave of infections, which maybe will happen as we have seen in the UK, for example, it will certainly not be as harmful as the previous ones. So vaccination is the key factor, is the game changer that means that the economy could remain operating even if we are facing a new wave of infection.
Daniela, can I get your thoughts on stimulus packages, both by the European Central Bank and within respective countries? How effective have they been?
It is true that both the ECB and fiscal stimulus have been very reactive over the crisis. They put in place supportive measures very early in the crisis, which is in stark contrast with what happened with past crises. So the policy was reactive, quick, and wide. I mean, the measures, the amounts put into the table to support the economy, the mechanism put in place, the policies in general, like the furlough schemes that were eased everywhere in Europe since March last year, so very early in the crisis, have been very reactive and quite efficient. Actually, if you see, for example, the unemployment rate, it has not increased as it should have increased, given the impact of the coronavirus shock to the economy. So we have huge recession with very minor impact on the labor market, which is an exception in this crisis. The other exception of this crisis is that credit kept flowing to consumers and to companies. So we have a huge recession where banks decided to continue granting credits, so keeping the economy afloat. And this is, of course, thanks to the ECB. So policies, or let's call it emergency policies, have been efficient, reactive, and have been maintained enough to avoid a turnaround of the economy.
So, Daniela, what is your outlook for the European economies for the rest of the year?
As always, Germany has this strange capacity to rebound quickly and strongly, and especially in a steady way. Today, Germany is confronted to these supply issues in the industry, especially for car makers. However, once these headwinds unwind, that we expect they will start easing from the second half of this year, well, the German industry will be able to go back to full capacity, and Germany will certainly be the country that will recover the most rapidly. On the other end, we have the countries that rely on tourism and hospitality services, notably Greece, Portugal, Spain, Italy. So this is take it or break it, in the sense that it really will depend on how first in the health situation, meaning that they rely a lot on tourism, but especially in international tourism. And the health situation is not under control everywhere in the world. So even if in Europe the health crisis is expected to end soon, the global health crisis will be in place for quite some time, with restrictions and especially international restrictions in place. So this can hurt for longer these countries. In the same sense, consumer behavior might be affected for longer than the general economy. talking that maybe even if the crisis eases everywhere in the world, it is very probable or likely that consumers will take some time to go again on long trips and long tourism trips. So consumer behavior and consumer confidence is also a variable that is very hard to predict, but can be both on the downside and on the upside.
Daniela, thanks so much for weighing in with your thoughts. That was Daniela Ordonez, lead Eurozone economist at Oxford Economics, talking to us about Eurozone economies and the outlook that they face for the second half of the year. Even though vaccination rates are up, the economy looks pretty strong. But as the rest of the world still faces the Delta variant and is suffering from that, it could still impact the trajectory moving forward. Okay, 7:58 in the morning. Up next, have the strict lockdowns impacted the Malaysian semiconductor industry? Stay tuned to find out. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.